Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we wanna be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We wanna send you off in style. We wanna welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgariff.
We're in the car. It feels great. How are you, Karen?
Chris, I'm good. Feeling great in the car.
I'm not recording right now. I'm not on the ones and twos, and I don't know what to do with myself.
It's kind of great. We finally liberated Chris from the job of being a co-host and the sound engineer, and we hired one Mr. Stephen Ray Morris.
Yes.
From the Purrcast and See Jurassic Right, among many other things. Oh, my favorite murder, sound engineer. Stephen, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to be in the back of your car today.
Did you give yourself a mic, Stephen?
I did not.
Oh, you're on our guest mic.
He's on the guest mic.
I love it. Well, we better get to the guest then. Chris,
relation. We have a guest today, and his name is Jordan Morris.
Oh, I didn't even put that together.
Yeah, I know. I just did just now.
Jordan!
Did you guys know you had the same last name?
We did, and we're taking a DNA test back here, so hopefully by the end of the ride, we'll have a fun reveal.
This show brought to you by 23andMe.
Yeah. Go to 23andMe.com/ride.
You just have to wait 3 months to find out you're not Native American.
Sorry, you're not going to college.
I'm just going to go ahead and keep telling people I am, though, because I think it makes me more interesting. Hi, guys.
It definitely does. Jordan, what is your tribe or nation?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I consider myself a citizen of the world.
Okay.
So all tribes are my tribe. But my real one is Mohawk Foot Black Mohican.
The Mohawk Foot Black Mohicans
were a proud people.
They were violent, right?
Sure, yes.
Well, they won a lot of battles.
Oh, sorry, excuse me. We just got handed a cease and desist order.
Really?
Yeah, we're not allowed to talk about this at all.
Okay. Oh, okay.
You know, for the best. Honestly, right. I agree with whoever handed that down.
You're right.
Obviously, let's just backtrack and explain the joke a little bit. What we were parodying was entitled white people who like to talk about how they're 1/8 Native American because they feel it gives them some, complaining cred or something.
Right,
yeah.
And I was playing that character. That wasn't just me saying a dumb thing.
No, never.
Never.
It's always
never
a character.
Happens.
Yeah.
This is the number one scripted show podcast on the airways right
Tightly
now.
Scripted, too. Dang.
Who wrote the script today?
We go over and over these lines.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what was notes, what we kicked out, what is new, dialogue.
It's just like soap operas. You just have to rememorize these pink pages and the lime pages and the golden rods that come in.
I just can't wait until I have an evil twin on the show.
Soon.
And a romance with myself.
The reason I haven't been on the show in a while is because I've been in a coma.
Oh, yeah,
so, and I've
that's
just,
right.
I've just awoken. It's a huge twist. I'm a fan favorite. Back from the dead.
God, we were screaming when Jordan woke up. It was, we thought he was dying.
Yeah. Is there anything different that you know about yourself since you've been in a coma?
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, I've had a lot of great coma dreams, a lot of coma stress dreams. I tell people I can play the drums and then we get on stage and I can't.
So but you're also in a coma.
But I'm also in a coma.
Yeah. That's stressful.
So I've just had 5 years of that dream.
God.
Well, people talk a lot of negative things about comas, but if they're relaxing, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I used to, as a child, and I think I got it from the dramas we watched at night, often pretend I'd like to put my arms outside of the blankets on my bed and pretend I was in a coma and people were coming to cry and visit me. Did anyone else ever do that?
As a young person, I would often pretend it was, I had a dying scene and then credits were rolling.
Yes.
And people were crying.
Yeah.
And I did that quite often alone. No, there was no audience.
No.
I would pretend to die. I would hum the theme music at the end of the movie. And boy, I could have used
And just take
playmates.
A big piece of construction paper and write out all the credits.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And I'd slowly pan it down in front of a camera that didn't exist.
Hair by De Leon.
Chris Fairbanks' wardrobe provided by Saks Fifth Avenue.
Guests of the Chris Fairbanks show stay at Omni Hotels.
It's like a game show with guests, but I die at the end of each episode.
No animals were harmed in the making of this child's game. This child's morbid game.
This strange, strange game that no one knows how we learned.
I found out the hard way they just say that at the end of things, because I was on a movie and I saw a horse die.
No,
and
you didn't.
Yeah, I did. I was next to wild horses bumped a trained horse into a post and it stuck in him and it was bloody and I saw it and
oh boy.
I'll be forever traumatized. And then they led everyone out a different way so they wouldn't see it, covered it with a blanket, but it's like, I have a secret.
And then the director comes on the next day, he's like, hello, yes, I'm sorry, I'm on the phone with the horse hospital. Okay, full recovery?
Wow, that's
happier
amazing.
Than ever? All
fake
right.
Fake blood? Who would have made buckets of fake blood?
Just part of the movie that the cast didn't know?
Freed him onto a strawberry farm where he gets to eat anything he wants. Awesome!
Okay, on with the movie.
Well, if you say his life was better than it was in the first place, I guess I have to believe you.
Well, blessing in disguise, then.
You are a doctor, Dr. Johnson. A doctor of animals.
A thumbs up, you say? Okay.
No, and then at the end of the movie, it says no animals were harmed during the making of this film.
I have a question.
Yes.
Was the place where you witnessed a horse death the same movie where you got bitten by a tiny
yes.
scorpion?
Yes. It was days later. I had so many lawsuits.
How? How don't you tell any of those stories by saying when I was on the cursed cowboy film? Because nothing good happened to you on that movie.
Nothing did. It was awful. And then at the
but
end,
but you got that Golden Globe, right? Is that the one you won? People's Choice Award. People's
you beat
Choice
McConaughey
Award.
For Dallas Buyers Club. That was awesome.
No, I got MTV's Best Kiss Award.
It was such a brave performance you gave, Craig. It was a really brave.
Yeah, kissing a dead horse is not easy.
I thought it was the only way to bring it back to life.
Horse EMT. EMT.
I kissed his wounds. Just stuck my face in it. Oh, and it didn't work. It really didn't work.
But then the movie transitioned into Equus, and that was an amazing turn.
Yeah, and hot, too.
Yeah.
Who needs 50 hot. Shades when you can see Chris Fairbanks fucking almost dead horse.
Everyone loves my gory horse porn.
Yeah. Talking about beating a head dead horse. I'll do you one better.
Hello, folks. And credits are still rolling.
Longest death ever. Sure. Still have a few last breaths.
Then the U2 song kicks in.
And then at the very end, it says, member FDIC. Because that's what they say.
Shot in Austin, Texas.
Yeah, there was there were actors in this movie, and it was called American Outlaws, and there were actors in it, and you could tell they were all embarrassed that they were there. But another thing they could get sued for is there was extras. I was just playing an extra, and they had wild horses galloping through this fake town, and they were just with a megaphone telling people when to dive out of the way. And they were diving too soon. What? Diving to the ground.
Just like, what were they avoiding? A stage
horses.
Coach? Oh, horses. Okay.
Jordan!
I'm sorry.
Horses.
A gang of wild horses with just a couple trained horses leading the way.
But they had switchblades.
The trained horses were not union, and they all had knives.
Oh, yeah.
And
scabs. Scab horses.
Scabs.
They said, we promised everything is under control. If you could just jump a second later... And that's when I was like, this is ridiculous. It's dangerous. It's 112.
Yeah.
I'm going to hide in the air-conditioned holding area, which there was like one other person in there. And then as the horses came around the bend, that's when I saw the horse murder.
Ugh.
What does a scorpion bite feel like?
Terrible. At first, I thought it was a bee, and the scorpion was just in the pants, and I put on these old dusty pants.
Sure.
And it was the first thing in the day that we all got on this wagon of people.
Well, I mean, like, everybody knows before you put on dusty pants, you got to do the scorpion shake, Chris. You just give her three good whaps. Any little scorps are going to fall out.
These are instructions from my line dancing class. They really could have shaken out the scorpions from those pants.
There you was wanted one. Someone else to shake them out for you?
I wasn't going to do it. I knew
what
not
diva.
Of scorpions.
What a diva.
Seriously. I don't shake my own
pants.
I'm from Fuse.
I hadn't done that yet. I was 23.
I will at some point be on Fuse.
You'll see. Right
I'll
now,
show though, you all.
You'll rue the day.
Oh, man. It really just hurt. I thought a bee was stinging me, and then I started laughing and while pretending to load a wagon in the blurry background. And it started to get so intense. It was one of the worst pains because it's unexpected and it's sure. hidden in your pants, and it was on my kneecap.
And is it like snakes where the little ones have more poison in them?
Yes. There was a little white one, and everyone's like, oh, those are the bad kind, which I thought means you're going to die, but they don't kill you, I guess.
Nah.
Like, because I'm alive. I'm sure of it, actually.
Yeah, you can be
well,
sure.
I, yeah.
It took something out of you. Yeah. That's for sure.
Your love of Westerns. It like killed that, your love of Westerns.
Sorry, totally I just have did. To tell on myself. I just suggested that the little ones have more poison as if I'm smart, when actually it's because I've heard this story.
Yes.
About 11 times.
You know what? I am on the podcast.
I just realized that.
And because I was about to say they had to yell cut because my underwear was purple, and then I was like, oh, I've told this before. I just realized it. I'm so limited. I have 50 stories, and that's why we can't podcast more frequently, because I ain't got nothing up here.
The scorpion delivers. There's a different Rashomon style way to look at it every single time we tell it.
Well, here's a good way to
say it. Yeah, let's hear from the scorpion's point of view.
Yes.
Well, I was in some pants.
I'm a baby,
yeah.
Mind you.
Some, yeah.
I eject more poison than an adult, of course. Like a snake.
Also, I had been hired too. So yeah. I was also an extra.
I was also an extra. Got my SAG voucher.
What about my rights as an extra scorpion?
Yeah. Scorpion went on to win a Blockbuster Entertainment Award, right?
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. I think so. He did a panning across the opening scene from My Sons of Anarchy.
Mm. That won him. He was great in that. He was great in that.
Oh, whoops. Sorry, that was a technical snafu, and I overreacted. So the director of that movie also directed Flubber. Jordan, you're writing on a show called Flubber, right?
No, that's
that was
right.
good.
Well, yeah, we wanted Dick we're going to do a kind of a dark Flubber reboot for TV for AMC.
Yes.
So it's a kind of a prestige thing.
Gritty Flubber.
Gritty Flubber.
Yes.
It's still a green slime based movie, right?
yeah, but like. You know, it does some morally reprehensible things, but you still like it.
Hell yeah.
So that's kind of what we wanted to bring to Flubber.
Yeah.
Flubber is really the, fifth character in our show. New York City is the fourth character. Flubber is the fifth character.
Third character, Sin.
Sin, yeah. And then our two leads are Wallace Shawn and the divine Miss Dandy Newton.
Who was it?
So Dandy Newton.
Oh, I thought you said Dame Duty Dance.
Dame Duty, maybe you might have punched that up. So yeah, let's just to recap the cast of our Gritty Flubber reboot. Dandy Newton, Wallace Shawn, Sin, the City of New York,
the Flubber itself, Dame Judi Dench.
Dame Judi Dench.
You always take my lines and cut them out of the script.
Oh, he was about to say, and starring in her final,
final performance,
and introducing and saying goodbye to Dame Judi Dench.
Damn Judi.
Damn Judi. See, this is scripted, this podcast.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jordan, I meant to say bubble.
Oh, yeah. Thank. No, that's okay. But they do. Those sound fun together if you say them close.
Tell us about bubble.
Well, sure, guys. I do a... It's just a little tough to get into because we were joking about this being a scripted podcast. So I'm going to go into real stuff mode.
Okay.
And say this is not actually a scripted podcast.
And this isn't scripted what you're saying.
This is not scripted. Okay, I mean, I've talked about this on other podcasts before, so I kind of have a little spiel in my head.
But use different nouns this time.
I will. Yeah, sure. Yeah. I'll tell this from the Scorpion's point of view. This is a scripted podcast. It was based on a TV pilot that I wrote that every TV person I met with said was too weird for television.
Yay. I bet it's great.
So, yeah, so we decided to make an 8-episode podcast about it. It's kind of about a crazy sci-fi city underneath a bubble where it's kind of like a Portlandia-esque kind of hipster paradise, but outside the bubble are these crazy monsters, and the main characters have to use this kind of Uber-like app to kill them to make rent. And,
rent.
Yeah.
So it's almost like C-Lab 2021.
Yeah, it is a lot like that. But instead of under the sea, it's above the water.
And the bubble has some sort of a Mr. Furley or a landlord that charges them rent?
No, but there should be.
And there's one guy pretending to be gay?
No, we should have done that too. Where were you guys in the brainstorming phases?
You gotta call us early and often.
Yeah, I fucked up. Nobody listened to this dumb thing. There's no Mr. Furley. There's no pretend gay guy.
Who are the actors?
Oh, check out this cast, guys. We got our Alison Becker from Parks and Rec.
She's great.
She's terrific. Eliza Skinner, basically one of the best stand-up comics.
She's terrific.
Cristela Alonso, who maybe you know from her TV show on the ABC as a voice in Cars 3.
Did a show with her last night at Comedy Magic Club.
Whoa! You could have used this as a conversation starter.
Yes.
Keith Powell from 30 Rock.
Don't know him.
That's
don't like
okay.
Him.
30. Just it's, kidding. He sounds bad.
I hate him.
Mike Mitchell from the Doughboys podcast Love on Netflix is also in it. And a cavalcade of guest stars.
Nice.
Judy Greer, Helen Hong, John Hodgman. Need I go on?
Need I go on? She's amazing.
Need I go on? We got in her final role. She died in the recording booth.
I love a goodbye role.
Oh, so sadly she did not go on.
Yeah, no, she didn't.
Living.
The answer is no, you don't need to go on. What are you doing?
I like it.
How many episodes did you make?
This is 8 episodes.
Sweet.
The first couple should be out. I'm going to ask that dumb podcast guest question. When does this come out?
Oh, sure.
At some point.
Oh,
a couple
yes.
episodes are out. You can get
at
them.
At some point.
We can get them on. You can get them wherever you get your podcast.
Oh, yeah. This will be on. We throw this up immediately.
Yeah.
So what are the
fast.
What are the podcasts?
Because there's no editing or work that goes into it. Now,
what are the podcast guest questions? When does this come out? Can I swear on this? And have we started?
Right.
And can we stop now?
Can we start? And also, do we have to keep podcasting?
Yeah.
I would love to keep podcasting with you guys for as long as possible. This is so much fun.
It's the best, right?
Yeah, it is the best.
The only question I don't like during a podcast is, when does this end? We've had a couple people ask that.
Yeah.
And that really hurts my feelings.
And then I lock the doors and I'm like, it ends when I say it.
And then you like get on the freeway, you speed up.
And out comes your wavy knife.
And you yell, we're going to Tampa.
We're going to the grapevine, motherfucker.
Love hanging on the grapevine with you guys.
We should definitely drive up to the grapevine sometime. What's the last good bad movie you've seen, Jordan?
Oh, last good bad movie I've seen.
Or bad.
Oh, bad. Okay. Yeah, let's see. Have I seen any good bads recently? Oh, you know what I watched the other day that I was hoping would be fun good bad, but was actually what the fuck good bad was, what the fuck bad was, Gamer? Have you guys heard of Gamer?
I've heard of it, but I know not of it.
It's got a little bad movie cult around it. This is a Gerard Butler joint.
Oh sure.
That fucking guy.
Of the 300 Ebs.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And this is in a dystopian future where it's confusing. Instead of video games, instead of controlling a character, you control someone who has a chip in their brain and you make them kill other guys.
In real life.
In real life. IRL.
Wow. So,
and Gerard Butler is one of the, like, avatars, and this, like, punk kid controls him.
Is this an old movie? Was it a young Gerard Butler?
No, this is like a... This is like a couple years after 300 and his star was not rising like perhaps he thought it would.
Right,
and
right.
And has to do this.
He's remained a dormant star, much like...
I wish I knew.
A dormant star.
Sure.
So dramatic.
He has a nude fight scene with Terry Crews, which is kind of fun.
Yes.
But other than that, it is alternately confusing and upsetting.
Well, are
it's
they,
one of the two. It's like
they?
Watching UFC. It's like either I'm confused or upset, and I'm never having fun.
Maybe you'd like UFC more if they were nude the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's...
Wait,
yeah.
Are there all the way dicks swinging, fighting?
No, both there needs naked? To be.
That would be great.
That would help it. That's,
yeah.
Has a movie ever had that?
Well, they did. I mean, what's that fucking Russian movie with...
Eastern Promises.
Yeah.
Eastern Promises has... That has dicks out, right?
It's dicks out.
Dicks
but
out.
It's
dukes
just...
up, dicks out.
Put up your dukes and pull out your dicks.
Come on, boys. It's time to fight in the sauna. But it's just Viggo Mortensen's dick.
Yeah.
And they're very tasteful with it.
That's yeah. nice.
Well, mm-hmm. It's hard to mess up with his dick.
Or anything involving him.
Yeah, his dick's good in everything.
He is the greatest.
You're a Viggo fan.
Well, he's just... Here's the thing about him. He was married to, or went out with, I can't remember, for a long time, to Exene Cervenka.
Oh, cool.
Which is the coolest thing. When I heard that, it almost was like me hearing he likes me. I was just like, what the fuck? That guy who has the perfect face and the Kirk Douglas chin and is an amazing actor and is like looks like a beautiful surfer.
Yeah, yeah.
He came over to the fucking goth girl punk side and got... I mean, that's the coolest.
And I'm not one of these people, but some people out there might not know who she is. Who is she?
She's the lead... She's the lead singer of the band X, the punk band.
Oh, I know.
Oh, yeah.
The other people.
You are the audience surrogate.
Pass it on for me.
That's really cool. That makes me like him, too.
Yeah.
I rewatched The Decline of Western Civilization recently. Nice Blu-ray set of that came out.
The one, first one or two?
I watched all three recently.
Oh, cool.
And boy, the X segment of that, these are I'll be the audience surrogate here. These are kind of little documentaries. Penelope Spheres directed them about the music scenes. And the first one is kind of about 80s punk LA. And the X scene in that, they are so young and beautiful and weird.
Oh, wow.
It's just, it's so fun to watch them because you're like, these are the most compelling people in the... I don't know. It's great. And she is fantastic in it. I absolutely understand Viggo Mortensen probably seeing that as a kid and saying, like, I would like to marry this woman.
Oh, so, yeah, wow, cool.
She's such a badass.
And the woman that made that movie, what else did... She made some other...
Wayne's World.
Oh, of course. Yeah, she's great.
And the Little Rascals movie.
Of course.
Great resume.
And also Decline 2, which is the, like, basically glam rock... years on the like Sunset Strip in LA, so it has like Poison and Aerosmith and
wow.
all these bands, and that thing is the funniest, most insane
it
fucking movie you've
rules.
Ever seen. It's every frame of it is perfection.
Does it blow your mind that how did she end up directing Wayne's World then?
I think because they just maybe they were like, we want someone to bring some rock and roll cred to this movie
right.
about fake rock and roll guys.
And she
know.
Has good, I think that those documentaries showed what amazing taste of like understanding the little moments that are hilarious of people as
oh,
opposed
wow.
to like, because there's parts where like Cece DeVille is talking about like they're clearly on drugs and they're just talking, they're
yeah.
trying to be philosophical
right.
and then they just keep catching themselves and like laughing at themselves. And it's so delightful. Like clearly she got them to a place where they were so comfortable
oh,
that
wow.
they were just like being themselves. Ooh, sorry.
I'm mad at myself
like,
for never seeing that.
They, you'll love it.
I want to see the second one.
And an amazing thing about it is that it is both fun and funny, but it also is very clear about this is a very toxic sexist environment
mm-hmm.
and it like lets those guys hang themselves. It like lets them at once be these kind of cool, funny rock and roll guys, but then also at one point, you know, at some point they'll show like, but these guys are also kind of awful sexists, and this is a very... And anyway, so it walks this weird tightrope of being critical, but also making it fun and funny. I don't know. It's a
well, movie. You just kind of can't believe like there were those lingerie contests at rock shows.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And
exactly.
It would be like the oldest man. I mean, this is like baseline Donald Trump esque behavior of like a really old man that used to own the Roxy or whatever, having a lingerie contest where he picks the winner. And it's just like these poor 18-year-old girls. There's one that I think she won, and Penelope Spheeris asked her what she wants to do next, and she says actressing. I mean, like, it's like that level of, like, you can't breathe.
Wow, or she was really fancy, because that word is pretty...
That's what they use in London?
Sounds really legit.
Yeah. Mm.
I've been actressing for about 25.
Quite some time.
Yeah, oh, that's great. I really need to see that.
It's good stuff.
I want to see it so bad. And secretly, I've grown to enjoy Poison. I hated them so much when I was young. Why is that? How does that happen?
I
age into them.
I just don't get it.
I aged into a Radiohead recently.
Yeah, oh. I heard you say that.
Did you not like them before?
No, I thought okay. I thought it was pretentious noise mm-hmm. for eggheads.
Some
sure.
of it is,
sure.
But now I love it!
36! You got it. You know what it is? You've been hurt. You've been hurt.
Maybe
now
that's
it makes sense yeah. to you.
You've been hurt by a robot.
You've been hurt by someone with a wandering eye, literally.
I've always... My mom introduced me to Radiohead. I always brag about that because it doesn't seem like... But she had the Columbia Record Club where you lick the little stamps and mail it in.
Yeah.
And she got me such cool music that I didn't... That television album.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
And Radiohead. She would order it knowing that I would like it. Yeah. And because she would just get jazz, flippy toe jazz music, like frenetic jazz that made me nervous. And then I would just get this cool, would like, I don't think a lot of, my sister, of course, showed me a lot of music and that was a big influence. But maybe it was by accident, but my mom introduced me to some of my favorite bands through the Columbia Record Stamp Club.
That's amazing. You know, I tried to get my mom to buy the Beatles White Album when we were at Tuttle Drugs when I was 10 years old. And she said yes at first, and then she flipped it over and goes, "We don't know what songs are on it." I had to put it back because it was just the White Album. There wasn't any song listing.
That's so funny.
So she's like, "Is Baby Can You Drive My Car on that?" Well, I don't want to get it then.
It's funny that I remember my dad doing that, but it was the day I went to Musicland and I bought DRI, which is Dirty Rotten Imbeciles. It's sure. all about coffins and dying.
Sure.
And then the other album I bought was George Michael Faith. And that was the one he took issue with, because I want your sex. I'm like, yeah, the other one is called Decrepit Cattle Fuck or whatever. Oh, that's so fun. I'll never forget that.
That George Michael music was dirty mm-hmm. at the time. It was so frank.
I mean, put your tiny hand in mine? Come on.
That's called pedophilia, my
sure.
friend.
Yeah, that's not a father. That's not anyone that you should consider.
There was a boy at camp that I loved who was a skater and punk rock, and he lived in San Francisco. And Chris Johansson was his name. And he, you know, I was like 12. And he was I've never seen anyone cooler. Like, I was like truly breathtaking by him. And he had like DRI patches on his jean jacket and shit.
Yeah.
And that band always, like, I loved them, but they scared me. I was just like, oh, these are punk rockers and they'll stab you. And
right.
you know what I mean? Like, I had this whole idea of like what that meant, the, you know, the DRI scene or whatever.
I was very afraid of the Misfits in a similar way. As
yeah.
a kid, I'm like, oh, I like this. This is cool and fast. But then I'm like, oh, boy, but it's about sex with a grandma? I don't know. This is...
What are we doing here?
I don't know if this is... Why am I attracted to this? What's the matter with me?
They really mention Halloween a lot.
It's not safe.
Right.
It's funny, a friend...
Maybe they should write a song about the harvest. Ever thought of that?
It was my friend, when I moved to Austin, one of the screen printers who became one of my good friends with his, was in a band with the guy, the drummer from DRI, and it was a funny story because he was like 14 or 15, and he just had rich parents, and these older guys formed DRI with him because he was able to buy all the instruments and pay for travel and
stuff. No way.
Yeah, and he was like a young drummer.
So he just footed the bill for everything?
His name was Felix or something. Yeah, yeah.
That's
but then
hilarious.
They became a really well-known, like, you know, when punk and thrash or metal were kind of joining together. Mm-hmm. I think it was called thrash metal.
Was it?
Jordan? Back me up on this.
Yes.
That wasn't even Jordan's
You're
voice.
Right.
Wait a minute. Who
Good
is
job,
that?
Chris.
He just turned into a Radiohead robot.
What's your favorite Radiohead song so far?
Yes.
Ooh, I love
Creep.
Sure. Well, I love Creep.
Gotta love Creep.
Mm-hmm. Beepy Boopy. Clankety Clank.
And that's
Space Girlfriend. I love Knives Out.
Sure.
Yeah, there's one that's a math problem that I
yeah,
like.
Yeah, yeah, 2 + 1 + 2.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's a great song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you learn, which is, it's like Schoolhouse Rock, the way they did
right.
it.
Right, yes, exactly.
It's
and
beautiful.
I know, and now it's these beeps and boops, but at the end you're like, now I know how a bill becomes a law.
Yeah.
Just subliminally sank into my head.
I'm going to quit school.
It's the only way you can learn is to have it sung to you by a tiny scroll.
Yeah.
That is animated. Right, guys?
Do people like I like Burn the Witch a lot? Do people like the new stuff? Do Radiohead fans?
Hey, you're speaking to the choir.
Yeah.
I mean, I was in a group of backup singers for Radiohead.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Oh, did you do all those haunting covers for the David Fincher films?
Ooh, those are great.
Yeah, that's it's very moving. It adds. I think I like Green Plastic Watering Can, and that's about it.
That's the one.
No, just kidding.
Did you combine a bunch of songs into one?
Isn't it Green Plastic Watering Can?
There's a Green Plastic Trees.
Plastic
Guys,
trees.
Everyone lets
right,
laugh at Karen.
I like Whitney Houston.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah.
What's she up to?
I mostly...
Do you like her new stuff?
What's the new Whitney? Yeah.
The Shoop
Shoop. It's a little more melodic.
It's a lot of creaking and moaning.
It is funny to think, did you guys watch the Whitney and Bobby Brown reality show when it was on?
No.
Well, I would recommend looking it up.
Mm-hmm.
It was absolutely jaw-droppingly incredible because they're both blatantly on drugs.
They're on crack.
Yeah.
Or crack is whack. Crack's report. They're freebasing fancy
they're
cocaine.
They're probably freebasing.
Sure.
And there's a lot of mismanagement of things. But then there's also these breakthrough moments that are so amazing. Like, they've just been fighting with each other for, like, 20 years. They know each other so well.
Right.
And it's just insanity. But it really is, like, they did a reality show that kind of captured her decline.
Oh, wow.
That was on, like, E! Or one of those channels.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't even know about it.
Yeah, I'd look it up if I were you.
I think
so
I might.
Maybe that initial wave of reality shows actually had some weird reality in it because they weren't so manicured.
Yeah.
Like maybe you could have some authentic moments.
Yeah, like Anna Nicole Smith.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Hers
I know
one.
Some people who swear by the Britney Spears, Kevin Federline
yep.
reality show.
Yes.
Because now I had a friend that was like a producer on that, Honey Boo Boo Child. What was it?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
The whatever it was called. But they would feed lines to that. That kid didn't come up with better redneckignize or whatever.
Yeah.
My friend Chris would go up and think of things and whisper it to her, and she'd repeat it.
Say shimmy shammy molasses.
And it was like, and then...
And that's on t-shirts for the rest of everybody's life.
And my 10th favorite Radiohead song.
Did you make up Shimmy Shimmy Molasses or is that hers?
I love it.
Yeah, I did make that. I made that up. If it was something she said on the show, I am not surprised.
While snapping her fingers.
Shimmy Shimmy Molasses. You win the beauty contest.
Her like brother falls down the stairs.
And then they try to heal his wounds in a backyard mud pool.
Right.
Remember that one where they just were all in a mud pool? Oh, you guys didn't actually watch
no,
it?
No, I didn't. I am going on
it.
A real thin knowledge about what happened.
I made up
show.
The mud pool. I don't know anything about it.
That's okay because Shimmy Shammy Molasses is also made up. So
yes,
don't
yeah.
worry about it.
Oh, God, that's a shirt.
I think I've only ever seen GIFs of that show because I don't want to see all of it.
Right.
Yeah, that is a very depressing premise.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's almost like just it's mean-spirited just to aim a camera at that the family.
Yeah.
It's like, wait till you see what happens.
Is that still a trend? The strange backwoods family with a weird job? Do those shows still happen?
Right, that was a
Seems
thing
like they do.
For a while. That was bad. But now just the world is bad, so I think that took over.
Yeah, no one wants to watch a bunch of weirdos in the forest be weirdos because now it's just the news.
Sure.
Yeah, now the news is Duck Dynasty.
For real.
I did a show in Texas, a small town in Texas, and really I was the close-minded one because I thought because there were no sleeves and missing teeth that they were going to be dumb, but they were really sweet people. And they liked me, and I went out with this whole town, like the mayor. Thank you, Karen. She puts her hand in front of me when there's a red light because she cares about me. I would have flown right through the glass.
I know.
But that we went out. The mayor, I'm not kidding, the mayor owned the place where we did the show, and then he also came out with us. And he, right. including five other men, had Duck Dynasty tattoos.
What?
Yeah. Like, oh, just boy. Of a profile of a duck. Maybe some of them were for...
And then a profile of Joan Collins from Dynasty.
Oh, just anything.
The plus sign and the equals.
And the host of Concentration was over here.
They were just fans of a lot of things and had the tattoos to prove it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I never did watch... I don't want to watch that.
I actually have watched Duck Dynasty. It's very addictive. Like it's like the Kardashians where nothing's happening and you have no feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like it makes the space for feeling absolutely nothing for half an hour.
Right.
And then you're like, I need to do that again. And then you end up watching 9 hours of it because you're like, it's just these people with beards pretending to live.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they have a ton of money, but they look poor. Yeah. Oh my God, my brain can't wrap itself around it.
Because it is. It goes back to the reason we're talking about it. It is fully scripted.
Oh, like, yeah.
Then you say this, then you talk about this fake problem. Can you do that?
Yeah.
Sure.
Take your wives into a duck hunting blind. Their hair is curled and they have high heels on.
Right.
Which is like, this would never happen.
And then at the end, you all learn to salsa dance.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. No, I know. There are like some, you know, there are some like TV shows that I like, you know, have and want to watch, but then... I'm like, how am I feeling today? Am I feeling depressed? Am I feeling bad? Like, maybe I can't watch this right now. It might be... Yeah, I totally get how it's nice to have just a nice, medium, feelingless show. I guess that's me. I do that with Simpsons reruns. Now that they're, all app-based, I definitely, like, I can't have a feeling right now. Time to turn on the Mr. Plow episode,
And a lot of people will judge me for it, but I do that with, just because it's on Netflix and I watch Friends, and I don't know why it just puts me in a good mood. It's nothing. It's a joke-heavy show, and a lot of the jokes are good, and you can say what you want about current David Schwimmer, but his...
What's the matter with current
He's
Schwimmer?
The best.
He just is...
No one say shit about Schwimm.
The whole show, even Joey, I just... But
that is my new podcast, Shit About Schwimms.
Shit About Schwimm.
I'm promoting two things. I'm promoting Bubble and Shit About Schwimms.
Yeah.
Where we all just theorize as to what David Schwimmer might be up to that day.
Yes.
He's just at home just priding himself on the job he did as Robert Kardashian.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Because he was
amazing. Good in that.
He was great.
Yeah.
He was great.
And he knows it and probably acts like
I'm sure
it.
He throws that shit around the Starbucks that near his house. He's real dick to people.
I bet he throws hot coffee on people at Starbucks because he seems like a real tool shed. But back in the day, what a delightful show. And just in the background, it's either that or
you have strong
forensic
feelings
files.
About David Schwimmer.
Yeah, I don't like him.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'll tell him to his face.
Okay.
No.
Didn't like the made-for-TV movie Breast Men? I believe he wrote.
He shouldn't have written that.
Schwimm Dog Millionaire.
I am watching, as my friends these days, a British series called Doc Martin.
Okay.
That takes place on the Cornish countryside, seaside town, fictional town of Port Wynne. And the doctor is a real anal retentive, almost borderline on the spectrum perfectionist. And he's in this town of characters. And it takes place in this beautiful seaside real town where every day is bright blue, which you know they had to shoot every episode in a 4-day span in July. And it is, I turn it on and I immediately like decompressed into sleep. And it happened like it's clockwork. It's
have
like
you
taking
ever watched
melatonin.
A full episode?
No. I never make it to the end because it's an hour long and it's really slowly paced. And it's like the kind of comedy where like a dog keeps walking into the doctor's office. That's like an entire storyline. It's great.
Gag.
It's oh, it's all messy and stuff.
Is
and
it then, a yeah. wink that it's called Doc Martin? Because I mean, it's that's
yeah,
already
he's
a thing.
He's a skinhead.
He's he likes the booch. Yeah, it's all
he's
about
one of the
booch.
Working class. Guys. I'm a skinhead. He's not one of the racist ones.
Right. No one talks about the skinhead doctors.
Edge. He's a straight edge.
Right, Sherry loves
doctor.
Minor Threat. So he's got the two X's drawn on his hands.
He will not drink. He gets mad at smoking.
Yeah.
You know, a doctor.
Yeah, his receptionist is Henry Rollins. Punches everyone when they come in the door.
Oh, I love when he has a cameo.
Oh, yeah. Rollins does a good cameo.
Agree to disagree.
Okay. What's your least favorite Rollins cameo, would you say?
Him doing stand-up.
Yes. Thank you. There it is.
It's spoken word. That is a weird thing. The 80s punk guy is now a stand-up comic. That is a strange
thing. I think
thing
it's that thing when musicians, singers especially, get famous and the fame begins to recede.
Sure.
But they've gone to a place that you kind of like, of course you don't ever want to leave and they don't stay there forever. So it always happens that they go to comedy and then they're like, I should do comedy. I'm hilarious. And it's like, no, you're the lead singer of a popular band, which means everyone laughs when you try to be funny.
Sure.
Right.
And that doesn't mean you're funny.
No.
And they don't know that. And so they just kind of go and it's that ego of riding on your fame and not letting yourself acknowledge that people will laugh. You could fucking recite the alphabet and they will do what you want because they're crazy fans of your music.
Right. I've seen it a lot. Yeah. I always was giving comedy the credit of musicians liking it because they're like, oh, that's the ultimate art form. But it's like, no, I got addicted between songs making people laugh. And
yeah.
I think it's easy.
Yes.
And boy...
Oh, boy.
Were they wrong.
I watched a video recently of, like, Jello Biafra doing something stand-up comedy-like. And I'm like, oh, this is interesting. And I'm like, I wonder what this is like. Oh, boy. It really drifted. And, you know, and Jello Biafra from the Dead Kennedys is the most, like, lefty, you know, burn it all down type guy.
Yeah.
With a hilarious Fred Schneider voice. he talks like he's like this.
Oh no.
Yeah, sure. Smash the state, okay? And he was veered over into some like college kids are snowflake stuff. He's like, that's why I can't speak at universities anymore because everyone's offended. I'm like, oh come on,
no.
Man, you're a conservative now.
Oh yeah,
is
yeah,
he?
It's weird.
No, I think he would say he's like a revolutionary or a radical left guy, but he had that like rhetoric of like snowflakes can't handle it.
Yes.
And I'm just like, come on, man, like that makes it very hard to listen to you when you have that
chip
over your shoulder.
I find like those, the anarchist type who it made a ton of sense to be you, that anarchist personality in the 80s and 90s, they knew exactly where they were, but now they're like getting weirdly militarized on the internet and they're actually, they don't realize they're becoming men's rights activists or like gamer gators. Like they're getting pulled into these things of like, take all this energy that you had towards smashing the state and start, you figure out like this person's, college students are oppressing you because they have different opinions or like all that shit that it's like, you're all reading the same fucking website.
Yeah. Yeah.
Clearly talking about someone specific.
Okay, elephant in the car.
We just passed
some guys in a public park having some sort of whip class.
They were alert.
Wow.
They had a duffel bag of extra whips.
Well, I don't know how many people are going to show up. It's just two of them, but they wanted to make sure
in case.
We have to meet under the power station. They were like directly underneath a power grid.
That's because it's a series of bars and they can whip and like, hopefully it wraps around it and they can do an Indiana Jones swing.
Oh, yeah. Or, yeah, or get electrocuted.
Yes.
Yeah, electrocute that's how the themselves. Class ends.
Oh, that was actually a suicide pact, what we just saw.
Oh, yeah, these guys are going to, okay, we're both going to whip the cord at the same time, right?
You whip around my neck. Wait, first I have to start masturbating.
And then I'll whip the power station and we'll both come as the charge is it's moving into our bodies.
The most complicated in excess death
yeah,
ever.
Sure. Oh, we're going to come as we get electrocuted to death.
In a public, a small public park.
The last, public autoerotic. But
the
it's
last
not.
Great trip, man.
It's duoerotic.
We got to do this, buddy.
Oh, man, we had fun with those two nerds.
Yeah. Having fun with a hobby. Fuck them.
Yeah. Fuck
being outside.
Hobbies and ponytails.
Yeah, damn.
Get out.
Goddamn cargo shorts.
They're like, we wrap this up. I have an iguana to get home to. He needs me to feed him some freeze-dried worms.
It's almost four. He has to watch me juggle.
He has to watch me juggle.
He needs it.
He has to do that.
He gets uncomfortable if I'm not juggling at four.
Yeah.
And then he molts early. Oh, that's fun. Let's go do this to their faces.
Yes. Hey, motherfuckers.
We immediately get whipped.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I actually was, there's another park on the, like in closer to North Hollywood, and I was walking around, there's a walking trail around it, and there was a guy in the center of the park that I was kind of walking around who was doing two whips by himself.
Wow.
And it's super fucking loud, and it's really weird. Like, when someone's doing that in public, a whip is a very threatening, dangerous, large, like, weapon.
Yeah, it's up there with a crossbow. It's just also a obscure,
right.
Or, you know, it's, or a mace. Like, it, maybe you can run away from, the crossbow's a different situation.
Yeah, that's it's a little bit
that's a scary murderer.
Yeah.
But yeah, someone with, like, a weapon that harkens back to, in their heads, what may be a better time. I'm scared.
I remember
scared
when men were men, where you could hug any woman you wanted to, and you just start whipping in public.
It was most, the 1400s?
Yes, the 1400s.
Most conversations ended with a sharpened stick. Those were the days.
Those were the days.
Oh, God. I wish my dad talked to me more when I was a kid.
Guys, look at the Equus Film Festival.
Can we go?
Wow. We are driving by the Los Angeles Equestrian Center.
It's so gorgeous.
And, yeah, the Equus Film. Now, I have never seen the play Equus, but I know that is the go-to joke. Is the go-to poll when you want to make a joke about horse fucking.
Yes.
Right. You mentioned it earlier.
I did, yeah.
It came up.
God, we should call this podcast Full Circle.
Yeah.
Equus is my scorpion in the boot.
That's the story you
keep
telling.
I'll pull that one out every fucking time. I don't care. If it applies, I say it.
Tell me about it. I don't know about Equus.
It's about a troubled boy.
Sure.
Who is sexually attracted to horses.
You're talking about the Black Stallion.
I love that movie so
me too.
Much.
Yeah, it's one of my early movie watching memories.
My cousin Stevie auditioned for the Black Stallion and was down to like the final three. And he was a...
Just Stevie from Temecula?
Petaluma.
Sorry. I don't know why
Petaluma is the Temecula of the North.
All words that end with A are the same word to me. Sorry. Petaluma.
Petaluma. But
it's
yeah.
like I don't know you.
It's all right. It's better that we don't know each other for comedy.
Yeah. And that we have a podcast where we don't look at each other.
Yes.
Eyes on the road.
Yep.
Friendship.
Friendship
in the trunk.
On the road.
Stevie was from Petaluma.
That's right.
I never had a horse period as a kid. I never was interested in horses. Horse play around the pool I was. But,
sure, as long as you're not running.
Yeah. So you're telling me you didn't grow up rich.
No, I did not grow up rich.
Get out.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I didn't never had a horse phase, but I did have a phase where I played with homemade blocks my dad made. Because, you know, we were poor.
Yeah.
I had a horse phase, blocks. But it was only because there was the one horse in the field who wouldn't let you ride her. Mm. But she was just hanging out, kind of retired.
When you say the field, what I'm having... Because I don't know exactly how I'm picturing
you
what I know
hear?
Of Petaluma.
It's one big field.
Oh, okay.
With four horses in it. We lived next door to my Aunt Jean, who had a farm. And she had, I think they had like 50 acres or something like that. And they had one horse named Lady that just wandered around all of those acres doing whatever the fuck she wanted. And all we wanted to do was ride her. And she was like, no goddamn way. And that was my horse period.
Have you guys seen Martha Kelly's appearance on the show, This Is Not Happening, I think it's called, the storytelling thing?
No. Mm-hmm.
She tells a story of passing a horse in a field, and it was kind of recent, I think. And it's such, knowing Martha, it's such a Martha story. She thought the horse was recognizing her, wanting to communicate, wanting to be her friend. She climbed over the fence, and the horse got aggressive and pinned her in this against a tree for hours. And there was a standoff, and the people that owned the horse drove by and just saw her in the field against a tree, and she just waved at them, and they like waved and drove off, and eventually she ran and got over the fence. But this horse was like wanted to fight her.
Yeah.
And did not want to be friends. Mm-hmm. And it made me laugh because she used to always pick up stray animals and stuff. And in baskets, she picks up a coyote. That's, it's a running theme.
It's so funny.
And yeah.
Horses are actually, I think, not as friendly as most people assume them. Most young 12-year-old girls assume they are.
No, they're big, veiny, toothy assholes.
And they're real, like, flinchy and sensitive and fucking...
They're all tweakers.
Yeah, they're on something. For sure.
I don't know why they're ripped.
Getting kicked by a horse is a fear of mine. It seems like an awful way to die. It's like you would die slowly of internal bleeding.
Yes. It's my least favorite genre of viral video.
What's your most favorite, would you say?
Powerboat accidents? I think
Russian dash cam crash.
That's my favorite.
I do like those. I do like those.
Skipping across the lake.
Have you seen the one where it's these people clearly going 120 miles an hour in a powerboat, and they put it to the song Turn Down for What, and it builds and builds of them like going, and they have a dash cam, so it's showing the four people, and they fucking hit something and the whole boat turns, and they have it all on video, and it's the one of the craziest things you've ever seen. You look
that
it up.
Sounds amazing.
It's the best.
I think I've seen it. They're kind of swaying, and then all of a sudden they really get whipped to the side, and a guy like, he broke his leg. That's how I know that, because we had that video on True TV, and they let us know of the injuries. And if there is a death, there usually just was nothing about it.
There's no death, though, right?
I think that I accidentally watched people die several times for World's Dumbest. And
but no, no, no,
genius.
But in that boat accident.
No, no, no. Okay. They all lived to be drunk and on a boat the next year.
They lived to go to Lake Havasu again.
Yeah.
Good.
To fist fight in waist-deep water over who's drank the last monster.
My favorite kind of thing in that genre is there's a video called Gallon Smashing Prank, and it's these little wieners, it's these little like 15-year-olds who all, you know, who have like tight pants and hair in their face, and they go into grocery stores and they get 2 gallons of milk or, you know, like orange drink, and they just walk for a little bit and then they smash them and pretend to slip in the milk, and it's just mindless, and the fact that they call it a prank, it's like there's no wit to it, it's just destruction.
And they get hurt.
They get hurt, yes. And like people are nice in the grocery store and come over to try to help them, and then they'll just like fall more. And it is insanely funny and makes me want to quit comedy just because like I will never do anything that good.
Right.
It's like any like droll remark that I could write.
Yeah.
Like, no, gallon smashing prank is so funny.
It's so much funnier than brain use.
Yeah.
The coming up with an idea.
And
that's the best.
Nothing's better, not even just funny, but like in terms of just having an experience, than watching Russian dash cam footage of a guy that's standing there and almost gets hit by a truck and then like leans back to miss a truck by 2 inches.
Yeah.
Like those ones... Have you seen those? Or like the guy that's standing on the side of the freeway and it's raining and the car spins out and the guy goes like this and the car goes between.
Yeah, I mean, there's something called Chive TV, which is what Fuel, where we used to work, should have turned into because it's just background. You don't need
it. Oh, not like, Fuse. It's Fuel, not Fuse. Fuel, so sorry.
No,
so
it's okay. I did some stuff on Fuse. but it's a it'll always be a category. It's like close calls and it is my favorite of those categories.
It's the best.
Next to piglets.
Piglets are good.
I started following on Instagram Pigs Are Awesome, and let's just say I haven't eaten bacon for a week.
Aww.
Let's just
1 week.
Say it.
One bacon.
No, we'll just
week.
Say it. I ate bacon fucking every morning. Let's just say it. No, I don't think I will. I really let these guys.
These
smart.
Instagram pigs.
They're smart and they're cute and they're, I think, maybe better than dogs. Not that it's a contest, but I have started eating dogs.
Well, they're better tasting than dogs. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I know that from certain barbecues.
Do you see a tiny potbelly pig as a pet in your future?
Chris,
That would be so great. You should do it. Call me George Clooney.
Clooney owns a lot of pigs, everybody.
Does he?
Yeah, he's a pig man. He always has been.
The two things I know about Clooney, owns a lot of pigs and then lots of pranks on set. Lots of on set pranks.
He is a jokester.
You never know what you're going to get.
I really did. Have you heard the prank, or he tells it on a talk show where his friend, something about his roommate's cat, like in college.
He had his friend cat sit for him.
Okay.
Do you want me to tell it?
Yes, please. It's probably a story we've told on this podcast.
Well, what's weird is me and Georgia and Steven just talked about this the other night.
Oh, okay.
So he asked his friend, and I think it was Grant, the guy that's good friends with him that's in a bunch of stuff, and do you know that guy's name? It's like Grant Hebroth or something
Grant
like
Heslov,
that.
Grant Heslov. Like
that's
that.
Right. And so he said, can you cat sit for me? Then he says the cat is constipated. Can you just watch and make sure that it goes to the bathroom? The cat never goes to the bathroom because George Clooney is breaking into the house and cleaning the cat box every day. So then Grant Heslov is getting more and more worried about this cat with constipation. And then after 5 days, George Clooney goes in and shits in the cat box himself. So it looks like the cat took the hugest dump.
Wow, that is a long game.
Yes.
Yeah, and he... The reason I love that story is when he was on, what show was he on? I can't remember if it was Conan or, but that
Megan,
person.
The Megyn Kelly program?
I think that it was a story that he wasn't planning, he legitimately wasn't planning on telling because he hesitantly started telling it. He's like, oh, all right. And it's a really funny story, and yes, it makes me like George Clooney.
He absolutely planned on telling that story, and they have to clear them like days ahead.
Oh, really?
There's no way. There's no way.
Let me love George Clooney.
Nothing's real, Chris. Don't love anything.
Better redneck, guys. Molasses two-step.
Sassy, smassy molasses. Yeah. What was it?
Shimmy, shammy molasses, I think. If I'm remembering my own nonsense correctly.
Oh, it's the best sense.
Yeah.
It's the best sense as non.
It just seemed like it's like those Flash comics where he would put on the metal boot so he would slow down. It is Clooney telling the story that forces you to imagine him shitting in a cat box.
Yes.
It's like, how handsome am I?
Yeah.
What can I do to squash the idea of me as the world's most handsome man? Will this do it? Probably won't.
No, like, there's no way.
I'm fine.
I mentioned having a litter box in my home, and I'm too ugly for people to like me anymore.
Yeah.
Clooney can talk about handling it and then leaving a human deuce.
He can do what he wants.
But there's pictures of him when he is like in his 20s with pigs. There's pictures. He's always been a pig owner.
Wow.
Look up. Google Clooney pig photos.
I won't.
Some questionable stuff comes up. That guy isn't George Clooney.
It's fan art. It's an artistic license.
That's
what's
George,
in their imagination.
George Clooney is a animal I can't think of the word. It doesn't matter. I'm done talking hybrid? About George Clooney.
Lover, you just dropped off.
Yes, yeah, yeah, animal hybrid. George Clooney is a...
He's a Dr. Moreau type right. character. He's part bat.
Bestiologist or whatever. You know what I was... I couldn't think of... If I can't think of a word, I dropped the subject.
Okay. All
right. But anyway, I'm not going to eat pigs anymore, you guys.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, well, then I'm going to eat twice the pigs.
I'm going to still eat... Fish, chickens.
Yeah, until you find a cute fish Instagram.
Yeah, like, and then there is a bunch of like, aren't animals awesome? And it's pigs running to people. It's and then chickens running and hugging people. It's no, like
that just happened once.
Yeah, it's
that's it, not but real. Then
hugging people the, like the with their wings. One, they put their wings. Around.
There, a guy holds down his hand. Yeah. And put the wigs around and then close our eyes and wait till you see it, Karen. Not everything is a produced segment.
Yeah, I grew up on a allow farm. For some spontaneity.
Chickens are the worst, cows are the worst, and sheep, I would have killed them myself if I could have. I had to take care of them, I had to run them, I had to feed them and water them. They are the most ludicrous animal, and they have fucking lizard eyes.
Oh, boy.
I am here to tell you.
I'm not a big fan of their rectangular vertical pupils.
Yeah. It's scary and weird.
Yeah, those are contact lenses some magician wears at a Halloween party, not an animal's God-given eyes.
They're trying to freak you out Michael Jackson style, and it's not cool.
Did you ever have to take an animal down yourself? You're farming? Take him down. Like you had to snipe him from the roof.
I had to shoot a rabid lamb once. No. No, but I did. We had a goat growing up, a goat named Yubi. And in our, like, he just used to stand on a little house in our field, in our back field.
Because they like to be high up.
That field, yes. Yeah. They like to be on top of things. And, a dog from the neighbor that was, you know, 2 miles away down there on their ranch. They were like a weird biker. It was like a biker's enclave, basically. And their dog, this German Shepherd, snuck up their field into ours and attacked our goat.
Oh, no.
And so they got the dog off the goat, but then they had to shoot the dog because once dogs taste blood, they can't. They have to shoot them. And it was one of the most upsetting, saddest things because the little girl who lived in the fucking biker's enclave, whose dog it was, stood at the end of her fence watching as all these men in the neighborhood had to assemble and come over to our house with their rifles. And then my Uncle Steve took the shot and killed the dog, and everyone was standing there, and she's just stood at the fence and cried. And it was the worst. And then me and my sister stood in the house because my parents wouldn't let us go outside, watching her, and we were crying. Fucking awful. And that goat lived for like 25 more years.
Wow.
The goat survived and was absolutely fine.
Well, that's kind of a happy ending.
It's a horrible, horrible farm story. This is what happens to you as a farm child.
Yeah.
And you never get over it.
Very bleak.
Right?
Yeah, goats aren't supposed to win over dogs.
But I mean, it was a bad dog.
Well, they keep the can population under control, so they're important for the environment.
You don't have to recycle if you have a goat. It's the best.
You feed it to them. They love to eat cans.
They love a can.
These are the things I know about goats.
Guys, what do you think? Have we done it?
I think we really nailed it.
I think we podcasted.
I mean, I started out slow. I'm talking about me personally.
Yeah, let's critique ourselves. How did we do?
You go, Chris. Give yourself a letter grade.
Well, it's a three-part series. I really started really weak. Mm-hmm. I peaked in the middle, and right now I'm almost napping.
Oh,
so I really, it's just a perfect mountain.
What does that average out to? Grade wise.
I'm real bad at this. Like, even the, where's your pain on 1 through 10? Like, I never know what to say.
Okay.
But I think if it is a 1 through 10.
Yeah. Which it's not. Today, I said it was a grade, but go ahead.
I give myself, about an 8, which, or as you, in your grade system, it was about a B minus.
A B minus. Yeah. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. Jordan, what's your grade?
Yeah, I mean, I think I think there's a lot to like about my performance on this podcast.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I feel a little bad about the
just riff. Say a Jordan.
It's about the riff about, you know, white people who say that they're Native American. I just hope people didn't take that the wrong way.
Okay.
Right. fine. And my follow-up.
Yeah. I mean, it can get kind of dodgy when you're being critical of things like that. Maybe the critique doesn't come through and people think you're saying something that you aren't. So I just, you know, I feel a little bit bad about that. I wish.
What would your grade be on bringing that subject back up?
A plus. Reminding people of something potentially upsetting. Yeah, remember Karen's dead dog story? But, you know, I think we covered all our bases on that. And, yeah, I mean, I think I was pretty good at chatting. I'm getting to be a better listener to where I feel like I don't have to jump in at every minute, which is something I'm working on.
It's a tough one. That's a tough one.
So, yeah, I think solid B.
I'm starting to understand why certain professors allowed you to give yourself a grade. This is very therapeutic.
Isn't it good?
Nice. Karen, what do you think?
You really want to be honest. I think you're both wrong. No.
You said you agreed when I gave myself a B minus.
Jokies.
I love jokes.
I would just like to say, Jordan, that I would like you to fold in the consideration.
Sure.
That saying shimmy shimmy molasses. Yeah. I think it kicks you up into the A category. It was the biggest laugh of the show.
I have to say that's what I was thinking of the whole time too.
Yeah. It was a moment of joy.
Thank you. It's nice of you to say.
You really slammed
it. Means a lot coming from you two, who are two of the funniest people there are.
Thank you.
Oh, come on.
Then I get an A+.
Yeah. Well, I wish I'd heard that good news. Can I give myself an A too?
Anyway.
Nope. It's too late.
Damn.
So I win and just kidding.
I win and
also you lose.
And because I said that, I lose.
I'm going to go ahead and end this.
Wrap it.
You've been listening to Jay's Garage. Do you need a ride? I've been thinking about it. I saw Jay Leno last night. Okay.
You did?
Yeah.
At Comedy Magic Show?
Yeah, he was wearing denim. It was perfect.
Jay Leno and Costello Alonso? That's a hell of a show.
I mean, were you the headliner? Were you the middler?
Gotta save the details for next time.
Okay. Whoa.
You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? DYNAR.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine? Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.